Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast about queer movies with the queer women.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it.
Yep. That was correct.
What did you say last time? That was very good.
Queer lady movies.
Broadly defined. Broadly defined.
Yes.
Yes. Broadly. Broad. Mm-hmm. With broads.
Women, femmes, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, the choices are limited when it comes to identities that aren't cis.
So, is femme a queer thing
only? I think it is.
Only? Or can, like, straight cis women identify as femme?
This is a good question that I don't know the answer to.
I have worried about this. Not worried.
It's like
thought.
When straight women refer to their girlfriends, that drives me fucking crazy. Because I'm like, what kind of girlfriend? Like, just say you're a friend.
I know. It's really interesting talking to older people. Because they'll be like, when I had my surgery, oh, who's taking care of you? My girlfriend. Oh, it's so nice of you. I have such a good friend to take care of you. Yep, she takes real good care of me and my vagina. Like,
okay, here's what Wikipedia has to say about femme. Femme has also been used to describe a form of contemporary feminism which rejects the gender binary and acknowledges that individuals can fall anywhere within the gender spectrum, resulting in the possibility to be genderless, gender fluid, femme, or masculine of center. Okay. So this is basically what I thought of it. Like, if you're a straight cis woman, then you're just, like, a woman, or, like, female, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But this also goes back to when we had that whole discussion about if a man could identify as a lesbian, when we talked about that.
I think he could identify, like, a man could identify as femme of center.
Totally.
Because then
can a straight cis woman identify as femme if she is just, like, a straight cis woman also?
I don't know.
Yeah. Definitely a man can identify as femme.
Yes.
Or a non-binary person or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who's... But can you do it if you're a straight cis woman?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But we're going to be talking about two femmes today.
Yes. Indeed.
No, but for real, if you do know the answer to this, please email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
I imagine it's a subjective answer. Yeah. It's probably just like whatever you think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
You know what's spooky?
Halloween.
Halloween time.
And murder.
And murder. Today, we are talking about the very Halloween-y murderous movie, Heavenly Creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
This movie disturbed me.
Yes.
But I also shockingly enjoyed it. Because I'm a baby. When we were talking about which movies to do, we were texting back and forth. Alicia was like, why don't we do this one? Why don't we do this one? And I just Googled them and I was like, I can't watch this. I can't watch this. I can't.
There will be some movies on here that we might not ever talk about. Like Contracted.
That one, I'm sorry. I can't. Like, the poster and the very, like, simple description of the movie on Wikipedia, I was like, I'm out. I cannot watch this.
Yeah.
I know I will, like, throw up and have nightmares.
But I know you well enough to know that we gotta run, like, we gotta have options.
Yes.
Gotta run by. I did feel bad, though, because there is, like, blood within the first 3 minutes of this movie.
That's okay.
But it looked pretty fake.
It did look really fake. That was one thing that I appreciated about this movie, is that it didn't look real at all. The disturbing thing about it was not how realistic the, like, imagery was, like, the blood and everything. It was more just that this was a true story.
Yes.
That's the disturbing thing. Yeah.
So this is from director Sir Peter Jackson.
Mm.
That famous guy.
Yeah.
Also, Kate Winslet.
We know about him.
Yeah. And Kate Winslet.
Her
first role. Kate Winslet's first role and Melanie Lynskey's first role.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, a big movie. That's, like, the come out with a bang, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Your first movie is this?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know.
And they both, like, blew me away.
Yeah,
in terms
same.
Of, you know, the acting choices that they made. And I can tell that they were, you know, being directed to be very, you know, out there. Mm-hmm. And
they screamed and cried so much.
So
I was
much.
Like, you bitches be melodramatic.
Yeah, like the first,
but
I
they
would
were
say,
like 14 years old, so of course they were.
Yes. The, like, minutes 3 through 5 are basically just screaming and crying. Yeah. And
like, legs covered in blood, but yeah, they're running.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a, you know, fictionalization, mm-hmm. Sort of, mm-hmm. of the real life murder of, I forget the mom's name.
Honora
Reaper.
Yeah, I know. And the fact that their last name was Reaper, I just couldn't get over that.
I know, right?
I was like, oh my god. Like the Grim Reaper.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
So
she was a mother to,
yes,
Pauline Reaper.
Yes.
Who's so, played by Melanie Lynskey.
Yes. And basically, Melanie Lynskey's character, Pauline, is
Paul for short.
Paul, Pauline.
Yeah.
But they call her Yvonne.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, but she doesn't like that.
There's a lot of name changes in this movie. Mm-hmm. She's also known as Gina.
Right, because they make up their own world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's very much, like, in her own head and very grumpy.
Mm-hmm. She is so pouty.
Melanie Lynskey got the pout.
Oh,
and
my
the
God.
Crossed arms.
Yeah, and she's, like, hunched over always, crossed her arms, like... Yeah, just really like a 4-year-old kid who's mad as fuck.
Yeah. And knows better to, like, say anything about it. So they're just gonna
mope.
Look like the devil.
Yeah. They're just gonna look so unhappy all the time.
And what's super strange is that in the beginning, she is a little smiley. Like the first time we see her in school, she has at least, like, three girls say hi to her.
Yeah, and she
and
smiles
she's, like,
them.
Smiling. Mm-hmm. But she does, like, pout every once in a while in that teenage way of, like, ugh, my parents are so messed up.
Yeah.
My parents are so lame.
Yeah.
But in general, I feel like, I know that she was only, like, 14 when the movie started.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like she's extremely immature.
Yes, I agree.
They're both extremely immature.
Mm-hmm.
But and they basically meet because Juliet's a new girl at school, mm-hmm. and she's very, like, exotic.
Yeah.
She's
from England.
She's
this takes place in New Zealand, by the way.
Yes, in Christchurch, New Zealand.
And I really love the New Zealand accents.
Oh, yes.
I just love them.
It's worthwhile to watch just for that.
I know.
Yeah, so Kate Winslet's character, Juliet, is from England, mm-hmm. and she, not only that, but she's traveled all over the world, mm-hmm. Because her parents are rich AF.
Yeah. Well, her dad is, like, a professor of something, right?
Yeah, he works at the local university.
Mm-hmm. And the mom is, like, a psychologist or couples therapist or something.
Yeah, she's a...
She's a couples therapist, but she's like...
Has some dubious therapies.
She uses, quote-unquote, deep therapy, which is what it sounds like.
Deep dicking is
deep
what it is.
Deep dick therapy.
So, Kate Winslet's parents, as we just talked about, they're a little fucked up.
Yeah.
They're not the best role models, I would say.
They don't communicate with each other all that well.
Yeah, they don't communicate with each other.
Seems like the mom is kind of just Polly. But, like, unethical Polly.
Yeah, dad is definitely not down for
it. Yeah, no, he's not.
Yeah, he gets quite upset.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she comes across with some new scheme to, like, get another guy into the house, basically.
Yeah.
One of her patients that needs treatment. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, and everyone knows it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And, like, Juliet knows, too. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like... It's a rough life, I feel like. I do feel for her.
She does have a ton of money, so, like...
Yeah.
But she also, like, had... She was traumatized from when she was a kid. She had this physical illness where, like, she was in the hospital forever and her parents left her and she didn't see them for like 5 years or something. So she has this like this real kind of
attachment disorder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She has a lot of abandonment issues and attachment disorder because she was straight up abandoned in another country for 5 years of her life.
Yeah.
As a very young child. I mean, she's only 14 now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Paul was also, she had a physical illness when she was young too, but her parents did not abandon her. They were like there by her side. And that's why they can't, neither of them can do gym.
Yeah. So they,
well, they probably could, but they get out of it. Cause they definitely don't have any problems like running around. Like they're running a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So while I think Pauline has like a bone disease or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. And she has a big scar on her leg. And
And Juliet has trouble breathing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a lot of complications with her lungs.
Right.
And they really bond over their sicknesses. Mm-hmm. And it's super weird. Like the first time I thought that Juliet was really immature was when she asks to touch Pauline's scar. Mm-hmm. And she, like, touches it, and she's like, ew!
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, you're, like, 14.
I know.
You should know that that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to touch someone, don't say ew.
Yeah.
So
things Juliet
like that.
Has a total manic pixie dream girl thing going on.
Oh, my God,
like,
yes.
She's obsessed with opera. She's always, like, really, you know, like, manic. She's, like, so high all the time and just, like, pulling Paul into this world of like fantasy and like they make an entire world in their minds.
Yeah.
The fourth world.
I wasn't sure if that was like that's their idea of like heaven or something.
Yeah, like a
but it's also with like the clay models and
right.
stuff. Okay.
So they like made this thing in their head, but also they like made clay models of the characters. They built like a sand castle and then they were writing this story. They were like writing a novel.
Yeah. They have like pages of, or not pages, journals, multiple journals completely written in and filled out. And they have a whole novel on the way essentially and they write it together.
But that turns into their reality.
Yeah.
Like very they, quickly. Especially when they are having trouble coping with something that's happening in real life.
Yeah.
They just like go into, they don't have to be together. They each just do this separately.
Yeah.
They go into this place in their mind where it's like their shared place and it gets like increasingly violent there. Yeah. And like the clay people come to life and it's like really weird.
Yeah. I feel like, I'm not sure if it's the first time, but one of the first times this happens is when it's Easter and this is like well into their friendship. Mm-hmm. And Pauline goes with Juliet's family to like the beach or whatever, a lake. And Juliet gets the news that her parents are going to leave for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she, obviously, given her past, is devastated. And she just, like, starts running around the countryside.
It was very, like, Sound of Music, like, on the top of the hill. Except she wasn't singing. She was screaming and crying.
Yeah, and with the camera angles made it look very much Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Yeah, she, like, runs down a hill and then just, like, gets in the fetal position and starts crying. And Pauline's looking after her. And then Pauline's trying to console her, like, normally. And then all of a sudden Juliet's like, look over there. The flowers are so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Pauline's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then she realizes what's happening and totally loves it and starts playing along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can see it together. It's
and
like this mirage. And like,
it does pop up on the screen, like, as a mirage, and then they're in this beautiful garden, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they get lost in their imagination so much, and that's another part that I find really immature about them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that children should play more than they do, but when you're a teenager, you should know the difference between fiction and reality.
Yeah.
And I feel like those lines are severely blurred with them.
Mm-hmm.
They do,
but I think
to
that's
some extent.
Also the result of trauma.
Yeah. And like, because you said as a coping mechanism.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they feed each other, which I think is really realistic for like young teenage girls. Because
yeah,
I think that happens a lot with teenage girls, is that they get into these super intimate relationships, like not anything to do with sexuality or whatever. Yeah. Like, well, here it does eventually turn into that, but like.
But there are ones, yeah, where
it's just
platonic.
They feed each other, and everything is so intense at that age because, like, your hormones are starting to, like, go crazy. And so it makes sense that, like, with the two of them together, it's, like, even more extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they are feeding off each other, mm-hmm. and they're in that vulnerable stage in life where it's, like, you're not a kid anymore, but you're not an adult. You mm-hmm. don't really fit anywhere. Mm-hmm. No one truly understands you.
Yeah.
Except for your friends.
Right.
Because they're going through the same thing right now. Mm-hmm. I always try to figure out if Pauline liked Mario Lanza, the best tenor in all the world or whatever. I know she liked him before Juliet said she did.
Oh, she did?
Because she has his record at home.
Oh, I thought she, like, it was just, like, there because her family had it or something.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it is. And that's the thing I'm trying to figure out. It's, like, did she just hear about, like, Juliet makes that comment and she's, like, oh.
I think it's because she, like, immediately was drawn to Juliet.
And, like, infatuated immediately. Yeah.
And then she heard, like, oh, she likes this tenor. So she ran home and, like, had to play the record. That's how I saw it.
Yeah.
Not that she, like, had already any opinion about him beforehand.
Yeah, that's true. Because then she would have been, like, I love him too.
Right, yeah.
This movie really reminds me of... And I'm like hesitating to say this because I don't want the negative connotations of murder with this, but like I love that like teen witch phase. I don't know if you went through one, but I definitely did. I feel like it's having a comeback now, mm-hmm. With like millennials
and, oh totally,
even some like Gen Xers,
yeah,
you know, we're like tarot cards and crystals, mm-hmm. and all that, and
absolutely.
I feel like more people are comfortable with identifying as being a witch,
yeah,
and things like that,
definitely.
Which but is
I mean
really...
yeah, like the 90s we had Sabrina the Teenage Witch,
the craft which was another one of those female relationships where they like feed off each other, mm-hmm. except it was like basically a four-way with that
was... and Buffy. I mean Buffy, I wasn't like I never identified as a witch, and I never really as a teenager like knew anything about tarot or crystals or was really involved in that world, but I actually feel more open to it now, like I don't know, I'm not like casting spells or anything, but I think like tarot is an interesting like storytelling tool.
Yeah.
But anyway, regardless, I was obsessed with Buffy and I was in love with Willow. So that's my teen witch phase.
Yeah.
She was a witch.
She's definitely a teen witch phase.
Yes. She was my teen witch phase.
I actually saw a, I don't know, like retweeted Tumblr post or something about how, like the teen witch phase is so important in the development of teenage girls because it's like the one, like being a witch is the one thing that men haven't been able to control or something like that. Mm. I'm totally botching it, but basically it's like, it's a way for young girls to almost like fuck the patriarchy, mm-hmm. Which I found to be really impressive. And I feel like these girls, Juliet and Pauline, kind of do something similar, but mm-hmm. you know, they take it to the extreme.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They're like running away into this area that makes them so happy, mm-hmm. and feeling powerful, mm-hmm. and they feed off that, mm-hmm. and they feed off that feeling from each other.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't inherently a bad thing, but it goes somewhere real bad.
Yeah.
In this movie.
So their friendship in general is just like, it just happens very fast.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of, you know, immediately joined at the hip. Yeah. So much so that Juliet's mom calls Pauline her foster daughter.
That's right. And which, Pauline like, loves that because she like hates her mom.
Yeah.
So unfairly, I feel like.
Her mom's totally fine.
Yeah.
And it's not even when she's like really, you know, coming down hard on her. Mm-hmm. And she still hates her. Mm-hmm. It's like, Jesus. Yeah. but I think it's, the mom is not necessarily, I should say, Juliet's mom is not really doing them any favors. No. Not that she knows what's going to happen mm-hmm. later in the story, right. but I think it's, you know, feeding that. And she kind of just wants to be the cool mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely get that vibe.
Yeah, because her parents are super liberal.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of their class mm-hmm. and the families that, of the people that they go to school with, including Pauline.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Pauline's definitely, like, infatuated with every aspect of Juliet's life.
Yeah.
And
they go to a super religious school.
Yeah.
I
think it's just, like, a...
So.
Well...
It's an all-girls school.
Yeah, it must be a... It's definitely, like, a Christian school. I don't know if it's a Catholic school.
Yeah, I don't know either. But probably.
Probably.
I mean, if it's a Christian school, it's probably a Catholic school.
Yeah, I didn't see any, like, nuns or anything like that.
Yeah, I guess not.
But everyone is very stern, just like a Catholic school.
Oh, my
gosh,
yes, I know. And they have to sing that hymn, and then they sit down on the floor. They don't even have chairs.
I know, what's up with that?
I was like, you don't have chairs in your auditorium?
They must be Catholic.
I know.
Love suffering. So... Something that's also really interesting, I wonder if this is why Pauline doesn't like her mom, is because of the business that she runs, which is a boarding facility.
Mm-hmm.
So she runs a boarding facility out of her house.
She runs rooms out for
income. Yeah. Who doesn't, you know?
I mean, I feel like it was even... This takes place in the 50s.
Yeah.
And I think then it was a more common practice.
Yeah.
I mean, because, not that it doesn't happen now, because it totally does. It's basically
I'm
like having
it.
A roommate. Yeah. But I guess, like, for people who, it was, like, two-parent, two-kid family, it was maybe a little less common. Or maybe it is a little less common now.
Perhaps. But essentially, they get, like, university students.
Right, yeah.
And they get, like, young kids,
mm-hmm.
first time away from home, and they all get, like, a home-cooked meal, you know, three times a day if they want it, and a bed to sleep while they do their studies.
But,
so.
Okay, so here's a question I have, because I wasn't quite sure. It seems like Pauline sleeps in the shed.
Yeah, Pauline has her own little
So I wonder if that's, like, if she doesn't have a room in the house because they need to rent it out. And that's why
Possibly.
She's out there.
I wonder
but, like,
about
that
her sister.
Place is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking rad.
Yeah, so, like, that's a way better deal in my opinion.
Right? I wonder what her sister's setup is like because
Doesn't she have a brother?
She has a sister.
What?
The curly blonde-haired girl. You don't know it's her sister until, at least, like, it's not official until near the end.
Oh.
Because she says, I'll help you, mother. And
oh, my gosh, I completely missed it. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but... That's a thing.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, what? Who are you?
Yeah.
I just thought you were a boarder.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess maybe the guy in the beginning who, when she was playing that record and he wanted to play a record, that's not her brother. That was a boarder.
I think that's a boarder.
Okay. I assumed in the beginning that it was her brother, but then I just realized, no, it's, that makes sense.
It's hard to tell because they're not explicit about it.
Yeah.
Like, who's... potentially related and who's not.
Because the grandmother lives with them, too.
Yeah. You have to assume a lot mm-hmm. with this. And maybe that's a part of why, like I said, Pauline is... She has that instability in her life mm-hmm. where... I mean, she has a place to, like, sleep every night that's the same, but, you know, her house is never truly her own,
mm-hmm.
I guess. So I can see why she would feel, you know, upset.
Right.
By that.
But, like, you can't draw a line from that to murder.
Nope.
Apparently she can.
Still not good.
Yeah.
So there you're, the girls are separated for 4 months
mm-hmm.
because Juliet gets tuberculosis.
Yeah.
And it's at the same time that her parents leave, which, like,
her parents are like,
I know that
you'll
parents,
be fine, peace out. It's like, what the fuck?
I know that the parents ask Juliet, they're like, are you sure you don't want us to stay? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're the parent here.
I know. Yeah.
So they basically, like, board her up in a hospital.
Yeah.
And the girls are separated for so long, which I feel like only increases their insanity.
Yeah. When like they the intensity get, of
intensity,
their,
I should say. Yeah. When they get back together. Mm-hmm. It's wow.
Yeah. It is wow. Meanwhile, yeah. One of the boarders is like
a fucking rapist.
Yeah.
Yeah. He like creeps into Pauline's room one night and he's like, I can't sleep.
Yeah. He's like, can I borrow a book?
Can I borrow a book?
And the look on her face is just like, I feel you, girl. Because she's just looking at him like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And but then she gets into her head in this other world that they made with each other, even during that scene.
Yeah.
Where she's like removing herself from the situation.
Yeah. And I think potentially as she gets in, I don't want to say gets herself into the situation, but she gives John, the boarder, the time of day mm-hmm. because she misses having someone mm-hmm. to talk to. And John, because he's a fucking creep, mm-hmm. doesn't really care what she's talking mm-hmm. about. So she just kind of talks at him mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, you're so beautiful. Yeah. Oh, you're so wonderful.
And she doesn't hear him.
No, she doesn't
she's
hear
just
him.
Talking.
Yeah. And
weaving this world,
yeah,
like continuing to weave this world.
And she's exactly because she's like in that world mm-hmm. of the fourth world that she's telling John about, she like doesn't even realize that he's like basically rubbing up on her,
yeah,
and like in bed. And it's not until he touches her like vulva or mm-hmm. whatever that she's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But from the attention that she gets mm-hmm. and because like she just gets to talk to him mm-hmm. she does or rather she's
passive,
yeah, she's kind of passive about yeah. having sex with John mm-hmm. but I don't want to call it sex either because
no
she,
it's definitely
she
rape.
Writes yeah she writes that she felt like she couldn't say no
right
or something like that, which is really interesting to note that mm-hmm. all of the voiceovers are from Pauline's real diaries mm-hmm. So we have that
she's like
element
a really
of fact.
Good writer,
yeah.
I kept thinking that I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah, so there is that element of, you know, what is it called, first, I was gonna say first-hand account,
yeah,
yeah.
That is a first-hand account.
First reference? I don't know. What is it called?
When you're like writing?
Resource.
Primary resource.
Yep. So we have that primary resource mm-hmm. that Peter Jackson used. Yeah, she even says he was very masterful, and I couldn't say no. Mm. And it's like,
Yeah.
So she...
It's like, oop.
And then immediately as it's happening, yeah. she goes into the fourth world. Mm-hmm.
And he's, yeah, it's a creepy scene because, like, he's just on top of her. It's like in, I mean, it's not really like The Handmaid's Tale, but you know that scene in The Handmaid's Tale, like, I only watched the first three episodes, but.
Yeah.
It's
where they're
like that.
Doing the.
It's like very.
Procedure, or not the procedure.
Yeah, like, whatever it's
whatever
called.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I love
rape.
That. I love that show, and I can't remember what they actually call it.
Yeah, but.
Ceremony. The ceremonial
oh,
rape.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But yeah. she is like
just lying there, like
yeah, and
still.
She, but she's talking, isn't
oh,
she? Doesn't she just keep going the whole time?
I know that in her head
did
she
I,
is.
Okay,
did I don't know if
up?
It's actually
I might have
coming.
Mixed up the two scenes too, where like because there's two scenes, right?
Yeah, there are two scenes. But in her head, she in the fourth world, she's talking, mm-hmm. but we don't know if that's
okay.
like coming
okay.
out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so trigger warning there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's able to see Juliet shortly after that, mm-hmm. like, nonstop, basically.
Yeah.
And they are inseparable. They don't mm-hmm. spend, like, a minute apart from each other. And
then they have sex with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even before that, Juliet's dad is like, I'm suspicious of these girls.
That's right, because then, is it a school counselor or something?
I don't remember.
Yeah, they go to see someone.
It, but,
I know, me too.
Yeah, he sees them, like, holding hands in the car, and he sees them cuddling in bed together. Mm-hmm. But it's like, Juliet only has a twin bed, and she's sleeping over. Like, what
yeah.
do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things where, when we were talking about the favorite, it's, mm-hmm. and you were saying that's, you know, interesting for... it was interesting that women and men could be very physically intimate with each other, but around this time things start to really change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, why?
Yeah.
But it's so funny the way in which Peter Jackson like zooms in on the dad. Like, and there's thunder and lightning when he's talking about the gay.
Yeah. Doom.
Doom. And Pauline's parents are like, nah, that's not real.
Yeah.
But yeah, she goes to the school counselor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens?
He says, like, well, he asks her a bunch of questions, like, do you like your mom? And she's like, no.
Nah, bro.
And he's like, why? And she goes, she nags me. It's just like, shut up, dude.
Of course she nags you.
She's your mom and you're a teenager. But he is like, he tells the parents that he thinks that they're homosexual. He uses the word homosexual and it like is a close up on his mouth with his crooked teeth, and he's like, homosexual.
So they have that extra like, you know, now no one wants them together.
Yeah.
And they want to limit their time, which only enrages them more.
Yeah, but it's weird because I feel like they're not being all that strict about them not spending time together. Because they plan this whole outing with Juliet and Pauline and Honora.
Yeah, and so, they are able to get together after that because then they have sex.
Right.
They say that they enacted how each saint, which I guess is what they call the characters in the fourth world.
Well, remember they made that altar in the beginning? It was like the tenor and then like some other famous guys, their photographs. Except not Orson Welles.
Because he's the ugliest man who ever lived, according to Juliet.
That made me laugh. But yeah, they called them saints.
Yeah.
So... yeah, maybe so, it was that they like transferred that into, maybe they were referring to them. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think Deborah and Gina are basically like Mary Sue's of Pauline and
absolutely
Juliet, which I'm not shitting on Mary Sue's, but because I don't know of any other women that are in there. So they
just a bunch of clay men.
Yeah, so they enact clay soldiers. They enact how the saints would have sex with each other, mm-hmm. basically, and the over. What is it that Pauline says? She's like, we had a very vigorous night, or like, I didn't get a lot of sleep, so they stayed up a long time having sex.
Mm-hmm. I forget exactly what she said, but yeah, it was like, she said like vigorous night or something.
Yeah.
And, I remember thinking like, wow, it's like kind of a great way to describe like sex that you enjoyed.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but like, yeah, but that lasted a long time. It's like a long time coming too, I guess.
Oh, bazinga!
What?
Long time.
Oh, long time coming. See,
bazinga.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna pretend I said that intentionally as a pun.
But yeah, from there, like, you're right. They don't really do a good job. I think it's because that outing, they feel bad. Because Juliet's leaving.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Because her parents want to send her away to a warmer climate. I think South Africa or something like that.
Yeah, no, it is South Africa.
Yeah, because it's a warmer climate there. She's been
having... For her lungs.
For your health. Which are, like, Juliet's least favorite words.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's because of that.
Yeah.
They're feeling bad for the girls. Mm-hmm. They know how much they're going to miss each other.
Yeah.
And they go out on this walk together.
Yeah. And Juliet and Pauline have been planning to murder Honora.
Yes.
Because for some reason, like, I don't know why
Why did they choose her?
I know. Like, how is she more an instrument in keeping them apart than Juliet's parents?
Yeah. How is she going to... How is murdering her going to stop Juliet from leaving? Her whole, like, nuclear family is still intact and going to take her away.
Right. I know. But, I mean, I guess at that point, like, they're so far gone that nothing they do makes sense. It doesn't matter. They don't see clearly.
Yeah.
They don't see reality.
So, yeah, they've been planning it for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks.
And there's all these disturbing journal entries that are the voiceover where Pauline is like, I have no moral qualms whatsoever. And it's like, oh my God. And then they like bludgeon her to death with a brick.
And right before they go out, Juliet's like, your mother is really detestable, isn't she? Right. Kind of like trying to...
They're trying to like beef themselves up to carry through with it.
Yeah.
So because you can tell like, when they're doing it too that they're like...
I don't want to do
that. Right. Yeah. They're like, this is... messed up, but like also they feel like they have to, you know, like and they, I don't know, it just like all came from within themselves and it just got to this place. So
it's like once they realized, like once it happened and they realized what was going on, they were like, fuck, well now I gotta keep going because
it did seem like that.
Yeah.
Like the scene there didn't last a super long time, but the looks on their faces, it was like they were not happy about what they were doing.
Which is really interesting because this is an unfortunate true event. I read like Pauline Parker's account several decades later, and she basically said, it wasn't until 5 years into my sentence that I realized what I did.
Holy shit.
So like
it's a long time.
I feel like she was
far gone.
Yeah, she really needed some mental health mental health, you know, counseling and things like that. Like she was really, it really affected her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just find that
about
so...
Juliet too. Like what? Cause I found it like even extra tragic, not because I thought that the girls should be together, but just because I don't know, it just seems like another layer of like, holy shit to add on top of it is just when at the end, when they had that text where it was like describing what happens.
Yeah.
That they both got out of jail and a condition of them getting out was that they could never see each other again.
Yeah.
So they could never meet. Which was like the complete opposite of what they were going for.
It was almost like New Zealand was like, you two are too dangerous together. Which
is true. clearly it was true.
But what's really interesting is that they live in the same country now.
They do?
They do. They live in England.
Oh.
Which is really funny.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Well, like, what if they ran into each other?
I know. What would they do? Like, they'd be like, I can't legally see you, but is that in New Zealand or the world? Like, what would happen? Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Pauline Parker renamed herself to Hillary Nathan. She lives in Kent, England, and she used to teach young children how to ride horses. And she's a devout Roman Catholic.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so she, her sister says she turned to religion, like, hardcore once she became an adult. Mm. And she lives a very solitary life, never married, or I don't think she did, not that I read, and just lives a very simple life in the country, essentially.
Whoa.
And Juliet Hume is Anne Perry... the Mormon crime writer.
Oh my God. Okay. You had actually told me this before, and I completely forgot until you just said it right now. That's fucking crazy.
She has dozens and dozens and dozens of crime books.
Like best-selling books.
She's a bestseller.
Yeah.
Her stuff has been made into movies. I think one of the sources I read was that she spends a lot of her time in LA because like her movies are being, or rather her books are being made into movies.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
what a trip.
Yeah. I would have a book recommendation except I'm not actually going to recommend it. But my lesbian lit book club, read The Search for Anne Perry, which was super interesting in the first like 20 pages, and then it fucking sucked.
Only 20 pages? What a letdown.
So, because the first 20 pages were, or like probably even less than that, were everyone in her life finding out what she did when Heavenly Creatures was being made.
Oh my God.
So, when Peter Jackson started to make Heavenly Creatures in the early 90s, all this information got out about, like, where they were and who they were now. So Ann Perry's publisher or agent or something, you know, got a call and was like, they're saying this crazy thing about you that you, like, that you, like, murdered someone as a teenager. Like, oh, man, we got to, like, put a together a statement and, yeah. like, you know. And she was like, no, actually, I'm sorry, but it's true.
Whoa.
And it's, like, just that. But the book, the reason why it sucks is because it's all... through the eyes of what the agent would allow the biographist to write. So
yeah.
essentially it's all about her books and like her personal connections to those books and like how the events like show up in her life. And like, thankfully I was reading the Kindle version so I could basically control F this bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, control F, lesbian, gay. I just kept like trying to find things or like even the like Pauline and they didn't really say anything about the relationship because both of them are like it was never we were never gay, we never slept together, none of that happened. Because of course they're now devout religious people with religions that are against gay people. Like, no shit.
Oh, my God. This is or, so wild. My mind is being blown.
Or they were, like, just so far gone and beyond that they don't remember it.
Right.
You know? And, like...
And that's the thing I think about, like, when you're that young, if you commit a crime, like, I believe that you can... I don't know. It's just, like...
Well, I think that's why they weren't tried as adults.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And that's why it's, like, really fucked up to try
kids
as adults.
Yeah. So, when it came down to it, when it actually happened, Juliet was 15, Pauline was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they both, like, got a similar sentence of, like, 5 years or something like that. Yeah, and I think there's some stories about, like, how... traumatic their prison sentences were too.
I'm sure.
I know there are some stories of Anne's prison sentence in her book.
Okay.
But like again, not too much detail because it was all kind of edited.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just
I have a book recommendation that
do it.
is just going back to the teenage witch thing.
Oh yeah, is it an Anne Perry book?
No. I've never read an Anne Perry book.
Me either.
But it's called Initiated, Memoir of a Witch by Amanda Yates Garcia, who is, like, on the internet. She's the Oracle of L.A.
Ooh.
It's a really interesting memoir. It comes out this month. And
have you reviewed it?
Yeah.
Or it'll, like, come out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. None of it's evil like this.
It's, but, you know, like, very, it's so witchy.
Yeah, it's, like, very queer, very, like...
Halloween-y.
Yeah, Halloween-y, but also just, like, it's definitely more the, like...
Mystical
yeah. side of...
Yeah, more, like, religious.
It's not murder. There's
yeah.
no murder.
Yeah. It's more, like, you know, an actual spirituality and faith.
Right,
type.
Yeah. And, like...
Some real shit.
And social justice. It's very social justice-oriented.
Oh, nice.
And there's a bunch of queer stuff in it, too, if you're looking for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You'll be happier reading it than after you watch this movie.
Because this is real.
Yeah.
Oh, cringe. Oh boy. Any final thoughts?
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Spooky Halloween.
Don't murder people, please.
Don't murder people. It's Don't pretend not, to murder people.
No.
No, it's just not okay.
No.
Please email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com if you have any, like, other recommendations for books or movies, or you have some dirt about Juliet and Pauline / Hillary and Anne.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear it.
Yeah.
Or you can see us on Twitter.
Twitter at galpalswatch.
And Instagram at galpalswatch.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy to find. No excuses.
We're
Except,
not
you
the
know.
Most active. Alicia does a great job with Instagram.
I do
a terrible job with Twitter.
I do okay these days.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so thanks for listening.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, have a spooky holiday.
My favorite costume is being gay! Just kidding, it's not a costume. It's my actual skin.
Gay skin!
Gay skin! Gay!